Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, a spotlight on artificial intelligence. AI could have a major impact upon Asia and the world at large. According to a new UBS CIO report, by 2030, AI will add between $1.8 and $3 trillion US dollars of economic value to Asia annually. We'll explore that data with the report's author and a top equity analyst, and we'll ask how governments, firms, and society can best cope with potential job losses as a result of this AI growth. Plus, we'll discuss how investors can most effectively seize on AI investment trends, both in Asia and around the world. We start with Sundeep Gantori in the UBS Wealth Management COO office in Singapore. Sundeep's a director and equity analyst covering the global technology sector. As the report's author, we asked him to provide some background to it and explain its focus on Asia. Why zero in on changes to the landscape there specifically?
So last year we published a report on the impact of AI on global corporates and also in terms of investment implications. But in a dynamic and mostly youthful growth region like Asia, we think that AI entails significant longer-term implications. This is obviously a region where a lot of market participants think that Asia is at a risk given it's largely a manufacturing-driven economy. Market also generally believes that some of the job threats we see from AI will be mostly specific to Asia. So we thought, why don't we look at what's the impact of AI on Asia? And the findings actually tells us that actually market is unduly worried on AI's impact on Asia. In fact, we see more positives than negatives.
Next, we asked Alexander Steeler, equity analyst in the Wealth Management Chief Investment Office, UBS, how governments, firms and society will cope with possible job losses in the order of 30 to 50 million. Does it fill people with trepidation, or are they confident about tackling the challenge?
In one of our first reports about artificial intelligence, we estimated that around 50 to 75 million jobs globally will potentially be affected due to AI, representing roughly 2% of the total workforce. Using a similar framework for Asia, we believe that 30 to 50 million will be affected, mainly in the manufacturing-driven economies like China, while the service-driven economies like Hong Kong, Singapore, and India should be less affected. However, we also believe that within Asia, artificial intelligence should create many new categories of jobs ranging in the millions, so the net job loss should be far less than the headline numbers.
And we drill down into the report findings with Sundeep Gantori. We asked him too how governments et al. Might cope with possible job losses resulting from AI growth. How do we mitigate against such seemingly inevitable risks?
On the positive side, as you mentioned, the economic impact is going to be significant. So we expect AI to create an economic value of 1.8 trillion to 3 trillion by 2030. Whereas on the flip side, we think that AI should also impact some of the jobs in the region. So we think on a gross level, 30 to 50 million jobs in the region are at a risk. These are mainly mid-skill jobs. When I say mid-skill, jobs that are routine or predictive in nature, these are mostly at a risk. Whereas if I look at the 30 to 50 million, I mean, this is a gross number. We think that the net impact should be significantly lower as we think AI will also create new category of jobs. So the net impact should be manageable. And to your question about how to mitigate the risks, I think clearly the future is for those jobs that requires less predictive or routine tasks. So jobs that are more creative in nature, that requires a lot of decision-making, I think, or jobs which are also specific to AI in terms of the data sciences, I think those jobs will be in vogue in the future. So I think the government also has to play a key role in trying to make sure that the citizens get the right skill sets in the region. We think that given the first-mover advantage some of the Asian countries and also corporates have done in terms of investments in AI, it seems that we have a decent amount of time before some of these risks really start to impact the region.
Next, how can investors seize on AI investment trends both in Asia and across the globe? How do canny investors look to mitigate risk and seize the opportunities here, in Alex Steeler's view?
A difficult one, given the limited size of the artificial intelligence market currently. Direct beneficiaries in the public listed base are mainly or very limited to selected technology companies. These mainly include software companies with a first mover advantage in artificial intelligence and robotic process automation industries. In the medium term, we expect even a consolidation given the huge number of startups focused on this topic. But as industry standards emerge, there will be only a few potential winners. So it's not so easy currently to find pure plays, to be honest.
Earlier, he talked about risk mitigation. But how does Sundeep Ganturi think that investors can seize on AI trends in Asia and more widely?
Given the impact in Asia alone, it's creating such a sizable impact. Obviously, there are going to be a lot of investment implications. We think that there are three ways of playing this. This is actually more on a global level, not just specific to Asia as a region. First is invest directly in technology companies that enable AI, mainly such as robotic process automation companies and companies into machine and deep learning. Secondly, we think that investors can also look at indirectly those companies that embrace AI and will benefit, mainly R&D-intensive companies in sectors that can become more efficient with AI, like healthcare, high-tech engineering, and also some select services companies. Finally, I think investors should also stay away, avoid those companies that fail to adopt and also exposed to significant disruption from AI. And we sense that most of these companies are in the old economy sectors.
How does artificial intelligence fit into a framework of longer-term investments that seek to take advantage of decade-long investment trends? Clearly, AI is an enabler to automation and robotics. So how does this all fit together? Here's Alex Steeler again.
Like a brain, artificial intelligence powers the machine intelligence of industrial robots and therefore significantly boosts the productivity of the manufacturing process longer term. We believe that the global artificial intelligence industry should grow by a solid around 20% per annum over the next years, reaching roughly 12.5 billion by 2020, so the overall market. Afterwards, artificial intelligence should become mainstream and the addressable market will significantly accelerate, in our view, reaching revenues in the tens of billions of US dollars by the end of next decade already.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at some of the implication of these trends for high-level global investors and consider how managers are creating funds to seize the opportunities in this space. Looking at some of these new sectors, like automation and robotics, which can be R&D intensive, for global investors, are these necessarily higher-level investment opportunities? Remember that it's early days, explains Sundeep Ganturi.
Obviously, we'll see how AI will manifest and also see what it means for the investment implications. But at this stage, we think that even companies in the old economy sectors, actually, if they invest in AI at this stage, I think the negative impact should be manageable. But for the R&D intensive companies, actually, this is a sweet spot for them. I mean, AI will increase more efficiencies, R&D efficiencies, and also the productivity will also increase significantly. Take, for example, legal industry, healthcare industry. I think the cost of some of these companies will fall significantly. Insurance is also another industry that will benefit from AI, as the cost of underwriting will also come down. So I think if companies can use AI in the right way, I think we can see a significant decrease in the cost of doing business, and that would be actually used in a more productive way.
We asked Alex Steeler to tell us about some of the implications of automation and robotics for global investors, with some spotlight on high-level investment opportunities.
Yes, we think emerging markets are one of the most promising growth themes. In emerging markets, robotics usage is still far behind developed countries. The need to drive A, productivity gains, B, rising wages, and C, the pure size of the manufacturing sector make a very attractive region for automation equipment. On the other side, in developed countries, we expect that the rising IT penetration in the manufacturing sector, like industrial software, artificial intelligence, should lead to a new wave of automation investments. So compared to other industry like office automation or healthcare, the use of software or IT penetration is still low in the manufacturing automation world. But we have reached an inflection point now with the software moving down to the factory floor, and therefore we expect an acceleration of automation in, within manufacturing.
A word on the mechanics of this. How are investment managers creating investment funds to seize the opportunities and avoid the risks opened up by AI and other long-term investment trends? Well, you must look at it from both public and private viewpoints, stresses Sandeep Gantori.
On the private equity or in the startup space, there are more than 2,000 such AI companies globally. I think more than 1,000 such companies in the US alone. We think that this industry will get consolidated. We will not see such huge number of companies in the future. On the listed space, in the public market space, we think that there are close to 50 to 100 companies which are having a first mover advantage. And I think investment managers need to actually position in some of these companies. But our view is that companies which are platform companies will eventually win versus those companies providing single point products. So I think the future is for those companies that can establish themselves as platform companies in AI and not product companies alone.
How are investment managers creating investment funds to seize the opportunities and avoid the risks, which, as we've heard, are opened up by AI and other long-term investment trends? Here's Alex Steeler again.
Due to the limited investment universe, the other way of investing is to look at the indirect beneficiaries from artificial intelligence, increased adoption. We believe that R&D-intensive companies will benefit the most as artificial intelligence significantly improves R&D efficiencies, which will at the end result in margin expansion. These industries include healthcare, for example, high-tech engineering, and also selected service companies. For example, with deep learning and predictive analytical tools, artificial intelligence can significantly reduce the costs and the time of drug development in the pharma industry by predicting the results at the end of the drugs, and therefore drive huge efficiency gains. For artificial intelligence, risks include increased regulation due to ethical and employment-related concerns and slower than expected progress due to limited innovation. Investors should therefore avoid companies exposed to significant disruption from artificial intelligence and rather focus on companies with a strong technology focus in this field.
Finally on the programme, a last note on the advantages of Asia as a region, as the report sets out. Sandeep Gantori explains.
One advantage which Asia as a region is that we think that the ecosystem, AI ecosystem, will improve significantly in the regions. For example, by 2025, we think that the total talent in the region, AI-based talent, will exceed what we have currently in the U.S. At the same time, we should think that the region should leverage the significant growth we are seeing on the data side. And also, we think that we should see increasing capital in the region as far as both investments and also the startup companies actually emerging in the region. So unlike the previous industrial revolutions, where we think that Asia lagged significantly compared to the developed markets, we think that this particular revolution centered around AI should help the region narrow the gap because they are actually making the investments at the right time. So it will be very interesting. We think that it will AI will take off significantly after 2020, 2025, during that time frame. So we'll see potentially who are the winners and losers, but at least Asia is well positioned now.
And that's Sandeep Gantori bringing us to the end of this 133rd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Next time, we'll be looking back over the first 100 days of the Trump administration. Be sure to tune in for that. In the meantime, you can listen again and find out more at the website monocle.com or via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.